Challenges of Faith radio program.
Nothing can put out fire, love. No, not my love. Not many waters. Your love is so, so sweet and pure. Your bright eyes has made my heart beat harder. I believe you will. You said that you love me. I know it's true. Really only. Your heart deep and sweet. Your face bright like the sun. You owe me. I am so in love. I am so in love with you. I am so in love with you. Do you, you.
Welcome back to Challenges of Faith radio program. I'm Gary McCance. Thank you for joining. I'd like to acknowledge God. And our listeners consist this evening, 100% ladies. Thank you for tuning in. Also like to say hello to two of my nieces that I'm going to stop in and see. Dante and Cherie. All right. Let's go by the pond of water. You know, you went and you prayed. You know, P-R-A-Y-E-D. Hopefully not P-R-E-Y-E-D. For somebody to be in your life. And the type of person or the character that you prayed for was someone with a broken heart. Say what? Yeah, that's what you did. Here's how it went. You said you prayed to God, but you know, as you know, there, you know, which God are you talking about? Because you got little g gods. There are no gods. But you said you went and prayed and you asked God to specifically send you a person in your life. You say you went by that pond of water, you prayed, you got kind of discouraged, and you kept on praying to such a degree that your eyebrows started sweating. Next thing you know, a squeegee and a bucket had to come out and a sponge and wipe the eyebrows off because he was sweating so bad, crying then at the same time. And so there was an owl, W.L., sitting in the tree just looking at you, listening to you. And each day you just kept going out there praying and praying and praying, oh, God, please send me somebody. And so the owl all of a sudden said, who? And you said, rather than just anybody, you said you wanted somebody with a broken heart. You know, Cambridge Dictionary defines a broken-hearted person as a feeling of great sadness, especially when somebody you love dies or does not love you. They say they died of a broken heart. They were unhappy and trying to mend or heal their broken heart. Is that you? So I know you're ready for tonight's program because that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about a broken heart because it happens when maybe you have experienced a loss. And a lot of times you'll hear people, you know, use that phrase to describe how they're feeling. But most of the time they're talking about the breakdown of a romantic relationship. That's what I want to talk about. But before we get there, let's look at the various ways that your heart can be broken. Again, having a breakdown of a romantic relationship, that's not the only reason for your heart to be broken, as we tried to allude to while coming on. Again, did somebody in your family pass away? Was there a friendship, a genuine friendship that came to a close? How about that job or the opportunity to go into that job? How about that child that you lost? And then there are some individuals that because they lost a pet, personal, emotional well-being. And so you can't take away from any of that, not that you're trying, hope you're not, because those individuals could be under some form of stress, especially if it happened unexpectedly. And you can identify if we're talking about you. But the American Psychological Association, you know, they have their thought process as well as it relates to some of the effects that is going to occur as a result of stress, you know, whether it's physical or emotional, you know, because stress can kill you. But I knew you already knew that. According to the APA, nausea, stomach pain has increased, your blood pressure, headaches, asthma attacks, depression, is that you? You know, I tell a story. When I would have staff meetings, staff would come in and someone would share, you know, how they weren't feeling well. They'd share their symptoms. Next thing you know, I had their symptoms. The Psychology Today, Psychology Today says, heartbreaks are very common in most people. Over 80% have had their hearts broken at some point in their lives. Have you? Well, being in a state of heartbreak at the present time is associated with singlehood, neurotic tendencies, and anxious avoidant attachment. It's healthier to interpret heartbreak experiences positively as catalysts for growth than negatively as revealing flaws. Any of those symptoms describe you? Because, you know, only you really know and those with whom you share that your heart is broken and the reasons why. Again, what we're going to discuss, we're going to correlate it back to the pond of the water story that I just shared. Now, I know you're really ready now. Because you done sat there or around, jumped around, however were you doing, and you said, no, none of those symptoms. You're not talking about me. Well, let me ask you something. Did you just break up with the person that was in your life? You know, the one that you said you were going to be here for the rest of your human days, and they you. And was the reason because of infidelity, because 41% that may have occurred with? But you had that mutual understanding this time that go your separate ways. Did the person cheat on you or you them? Were you rejected in the relationship, you know, because you're seeing, you know, your eyes are not blind. Your eyes are not fooling you. Your ears are not fooling you. There's no reciprocation in your relationship. Or you're learning that the individual in your life that caused you to lower your trustworthy guard, defenses, protective defenses for you, because you've been wounded before, but you learned that they weren't truthful with you. They already have somebody in their life. You thought they were single. Oh, so it has happened to you. And that's the reason for your heart that's broken. You know, look, you're losing on weight, taking care of your overt appetite like you used to. Let me ask you a question. You don't mind, do you? How are you doing? I mean, really, how are you doing? I remember I was walking down, up through a street. I love walking. It allows you to slow down. My grandfather, who I called Dad, when I would go visit, he and Mother. And my uncles, and first cousin, second cousin, third cousin, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, you can identify. Well, can you? But he'd always say, come on, let's go take a walk. And we take these long walks down the railroad tracks. And he'd say, you see that flower over there? You see those roses over there? He said, slow down and smell the roses. Are you learning from your broken heart trial? So I go back to, how are you doing? And the reason why I brought that railroad track story is because I remember being down up through a street, and each day I would speak to individuals of different cultures. And they were able to ascertain if I was genuine and asking them, how are you? And so one particular day, all of a sudden I asked the person, when I said, how are you doing? He said they would say, fine. But on this particular day, they said, not good. And they shared the rest of the story. How are you doing? Are you healing from that broken heart? Somebody trying to rush you from your healing process? Have you learned to have compassion for yourself? You didn't hear me say anything about feel sorry for yourself, but have compassion. You have compassion for everybody else on the planet. How about yourself? And while you're having that compassion, are you writing down your experiences? You know, I tell a story how that in my quiet time of studying the word, I'll take a journal. And whatever I've learned that day, I'll write down. I'll write down what my thoughts were and are. And as a result of writing those down, I also write down the day that I prayed and asked God specifically as relates to whatever I was going through that day. And then I would write down the day that he answered my prayer. My question coming back to you is, how about you? Are you writing down your process of being healed each day? When you're in the middle of that heart that's broken, have you forgotten take care of your personal needs. Remember now, you're taking care of everybody else but you. And God forbid we're talking about because of the loss of somebody that you love. Because now we're talking about that grieving process, because it's just not an emotional experience, because it also will cause you to be depleted physically. Remember now, stress can kill. And while you're at it, are you letting anybody know around you that you know truly care about you, what you really need? Or you're walking around with that pride all in your life and you're suppressing your pain? Are you wasting that energy on feeling the shame or guilty about your feelings? Are you investing your energy and making sound efforts to make sure that you're feeling better and you're healing? Are you? And again, you heard me allude to asking the question, what are you learning? Remember, you hear me talk about relationships because I believe everything in everybody's relationship, irrespective of who it is. Think about it. Think about it. Those individuals that you got to let your guard down to, irrespective of who they are and what their titles happen to be. You've gone out of that home of yours. You met their neighbor. That's a relationship. Are they real? What's the motive? You got to decide whether you're going to trust them or not, depending on what you're trusting them for. Now, you've gone outside wherever you live at. You're meeting another person. It doesn't make a difference whether you're at the gas station. You know, if you're at the laundromat, if you're at the grocery store, you know, at your place of worship, the person behind the pulpit, sitting in the pew, the person at the doctor's office, the sociologist's office, the criminal justice office, the attorney, the judges, you name them, the politician. 99 people may come into your life, different characters, irrespective of their titles, wealthy, poor, middle class. And while we're at it, what does the Bible say about a brokenhearted person? And the question is, you know, why would God have to be broken in the first place? Well, I know there are those of you who, you may not have a relationship with the God of the Scriptures, a personal relationship, based upon what his son did for you and me at the cross of Calvary. You know, like the relationship you may have with your parent or parents or whoever raised you, or that boyfriend and girlfriend, girlfriend or boyfriend, husband and wife, wife or husband, or that genuine friend title you want to put on them. But we're talking about God. Have you ever thought that God may have let you get your heart broken to show you that it's him who works all things for good for those who love him? Do you love him? I mean, you're rocking around, you're running around, you open up your heart, you're loving everybody around the planet for all these reasons. Do you love God? Because you know he loves you. But do you love him? Because you got to remember about those spiritual eternal truths that is important to God. Remember, a relationship. Oh, you don't have one with him. Oh, you wish to have one with him. Well, and when you do, guess what? God's going to allow those painful earthly down here on earth. Because you got to remember now, sometimes we're so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good and vice versa. But down here on earth, since we're here, he's going to allow those painful circumstances to happen in our lives, especially if we need it to learn truths about him. Think about it. It's affecting you emotionally, these challenging trials that are happening in your life. And you got to remember, God is allowing it so that you'll learn that eternal truth that's going to benefit you forever. And one of those truths is that turn that which is negative surrounding you for good so that you understand that he loves you and you love him. You do, don't you? Okay, so you say you just, okay, so for those of you who love him, do you notice how God is not just cutting some type of blank check for you or everybody else in the world? Do you notice that God's goodness extends to all of humanity in so many different ways, but his grace, his grace, his grace. You notice how it only affects those who love him. You do, as you say you do. Do you notice that? You sure? You sure? You remember over in Romans 8:28, where it talks about how that only those who love God will experience God's proven work to them. And when it talks about, and we know that to those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. You remember that verse? And if you remember that verse, then you know. You ain't got to guess. You got to remain faithful to God to experience Romans 8:28. You knew that as well, didn't you? And you knew it so well that you understand you're not going to experience the fullness of God unless you truly love and follow him through the challenges and trials of life. You know, those storms that's coming to your life, because through every experience in your life, including the pain of a broken heart, God is constantly seeking to show you and I that he can turn anything for good if we keep loving him no matter what. Come on, parent of parents. Come on, loved one, boyfriend, girlfriend, girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife and husband. You love the person, you might dislike what they do. And the question you got to ask and answer is, what does it mean to love God? Remember when 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And so when we talk about experience in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that I've talked about a couple of times, then you understand you can't just rebel against God when your relationships are falling down. You can't just, you know, rebel against God when you don't get your way, especially that which you really wanted. You got to keep loving God so he can show you that he alone is what your heart needs the most. But you already knew that. Think about it. And while you're thinking about it, did you ever think that maybe God may have let you get your heart broken by somebody to expose the relationship idol, you know, like a little g God in your life? Remember that person that's all in your life? You go to sleep, wake up, go to sleep, go through the day, no matter where you are around the planet, and all you got on your mind is that person, irrespective of who that person is. Whoever comes to your heart, it can be a child or children too now. Because you got to remember, an idol is when you and I love something more than we love God. And when we choose to love something more than God, then what's going to happen is the Lord is oftentimes going to show you and I our mistake by allowing that idol to carry the weight of our deepest hopes. And so whatever you put a false God to the test, it's always going to fail you. You know it's true. You remember those toys when you were growing up as a child, when you placed the shapes in the holes and, you know, those holes that fit those shapes and the circle shape fit in the circle hole. Remember the triangle shape that fit in the triangle hole and the rectangle shape that fit in the rectangle hole? You remember that? Well, that's the same as the hole in your heart is a God-shaped hole. And if you try to fill that hole with a false God, guess what? It's too small. And it's simply going to fall through that hole rather than fitting properly and filling it. And sometimes the only way you realize you have a false God in a shape of relationship is when God lets that idol fail you. Have you thought about that? Think about it. God has let somebody break your heart to teach you no human can fill your heart. And you can look over in 1 John chapter 5, verse 20 through 21. I know you wrote it down. And while you're writing it down, have you really, really, really pondered and thought about how that God may let you get your heart broken by somebody to teach you the lesson to his warning? Think about, you know, your loving parents. You know they love you. If they do, they forewarned you. Your friend, your pastor, whoever comes to your heart and mind. But most importantly, God warned you. But, oh, no. So think about it. God's only going to warn you so many times before allowing you to learn the hard way. You know that child of yours, or maybe you one day was that child. Hard-headed. You know, over in Mark chapter 14, verse 26 through 31, Jesus did warn Peter that Peter was going to betray Jesus, but Peter didn't listen. And over in Mark chapter 14, verse 32 through 42, our Savior then warned Peter three times to pray for strength to overcome the temptations ahead. But each time, Peter fell asleep. And again, and then in Mark chapter 14, verse 36, Mark chapter 14, verse 66 through 72, just as Jesus warned Peter, guess what? Peter did exactly what the Savior was letting him know he was going to do. He ended up denying him. Think about it. All that sound advice you've been receiving. And now you're wondering around, wondering why you had a broken heart. When somebody told you, hey, you better watch her. You better watch him. So if we ignore God's warning long enough, guess what? Eventually going to experience the thing that God was trying to warn us about. You know it's true, because you can only ignore God's warning so long before he lets you learn the lesson the hard way. And a lot of times, God lets somebody get hurt because you keep ignoring his warning. And have you ever really, really thought how that God may have let you get your heart broken because he overruled your desire and kindness? We're talking about relationships. You know the different type of relationships in which can be broken. When we came down to the romantic part of it all, letting you know all the reasons why your heart may be broken. And you know, if you've been in any type of relationship, you know, you just started with a cold, indifferent heart. But relationships are hard to maintain over time because you're talking about two individuals, two different individuals. Relationships are going to change over time. Humans never remain exactly the same. You got to keep in mind who you are today is going to be a little different than who you are tomorrow. And who you are in 10 years is going to be a little different than who you are a year from now. The point is, God and God alone knows the future. And in kindness, God often looks ahead in ways that you and I can't. And when he sees something down the line that we're unable to see, he takes that into account in ways that we're unable to do. So God in kindness oftentimes says no to things you and I want now, because he knows in the future we won't feel the same way. Remember? I know the parent or parents remember. On behalf of your loving child and children, you know, those children who think you were born as a parent rather than you came in like a baby like them. You grew up as a teenager like them. You became a young adult, and now you've matured into an older adult or an ancient adult. So when you remain faithful to God after relationship heartbreak, oftentimes he's going to give you an even better relationship with someone than you don't even end up marrying. But that person that he gives you a better relationship with, that's going to be the person that you may spend that lifetime with. And then you're going to realize why God said to you no in the past. Because now you understand that God let your heart get broken then because he wanted to give you to someone completely different later. That man, that woman, that man that you have specifically prayed for, waited for patiently. Have you ever thought that God is molding them to be that person that you need in your life? And you, them. Because, you know, just anybody can deal with you and vice versa. You know it's true. And so even when things do not play out just like you think it's going to, we can still trust that God's way are better than our ways, because guess what? He knows things that you and I don't. Like over in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 through 9. You ready to write it down? You sure? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. All right, so how's your heart now? Oh, I know it's still broken, isn't it? But it's not going to heal overnight. So you really want to know how a loving, gracious, merciful, kind God can really help you? You sure? I mean, I'm not talking about the way in which your pastor, imam, rabbi, priest, human teacher. I'm talking about the way in which your parents or grandparents or great-grandparents or relatives or friends or so-called friends. I'm talking about God. Over in Psalm 34, verse 18, I know you're writing it down. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. He's with you. He's near you. You know your spirit has been crushed. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. You know, I've had a long day, but it's okay, because this message is very important, hopefully, to you, or to you. But think about it. You put your trust in that man, whoever comes to your heart and mind. How about trusting God? Over in Psalm 147, verse 3, it says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up the wounds. Don't you want your wounds bound up? In Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Remember the diverse, heartbreaking type relationships that one can experience when we first start off the program tonight? Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And how about in Psalm 73, verse 26, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. We're talking about that broken heart of yours. We're talking about really, really understanding who can really help you heal your heart. All right. Let me ask you a question. You don't mind, do you? Why would anybody seek out a brokenhearted person for a relationship? And why would the brokenhearted person be drawn to the seeker? Why would that be the case? And really, since you're seeking another brokenhearted person, can you really help them? I mean, can you? What's your motive for wanting to be with a brokenhearted person? What is your motive? Oh, you're not going to reveal it? Well, why not? You're seeking a brokenhearted person. Songs that you're listening to. Deborah Denise, our beloved sister of the household of faith. Powerful lyrics. Powerful, powerful, powerful. Produce them. All of that. Continue checking her out if you have not.
don't know much to do. Nothing can put out fire, love. No, not my love. Not many waters. Your love is so, so sweet and pure. Your bright eyes has made my heart beat harder. I believe you will. You said that you love me. I know it's true. Like the sun, you owe me. I am so in love. I am so in love with you. I am so in love with you. You, 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 you. I
God can